All right, thank you to DeMarco Farr. Matt, I can't tell you how excited I am to just have an extra playoff team. And I really feel like where we're going to see the effect of it is the fact that when you get into week 14, 15, 16, 17, everybody is watching these games as if the playoffs already started. I know it's just one extra team, but that one extra team, you know, that means three, four more teams got a shot at that last slot. So that's what I love the most about it. And as far as a 17th game, I mean, listening to DeMarco Farr just explain, like, man, you didn't play in the league. My body was done. He said there was only one time he played more than 16 games. That's when they won the Super Bowl. He said a year after that, he retired. All right, I'm good. Stay with 16. I don't need to see, you know, from a personal level, I don't need to see players, you know, just destroying their body, which is probably what happens in the NFL either way. So yesterday, All the Smoke, which is the podcast that Steven Jackson and Matt Barnes do together. And let me just say this. I got to compliment those two, man. They have done such a remarkable job on that podcast, and I feel like they have the players opening up. Every guest that they have on, they've done such a tremendous job of asking these personal questions, but doing it in such an organic way that I just want to give them their compliments because it's a fantastic podcast. So All the Smoke. DeMarcus Cousins was on. Maybe it was this weekend, whatever the case was, but it aired yesterday, so I watched it yesterday on YouTube. Here's DeMarcus Cousins talking about the Lakers and their team chemistry.
It is like I've never been a part of a team like this. Mm-hmm. Like, let's just take away the win and, you know, just the vibe of the team. Mm-hmm. Like, if we move, it's
the game.
1 through 15.
That's how we was.
The game.
We going to, one dude going to the movies, we all going game. To the movies.
We're
going to
win bro. That way. Because that say that translates to the court.
But this is the thing about it, and I've heard that. But it's not forced.
No, not at all. No, it's organic.
I want to go kick. Oh, yeah. You go. Oh, so I'm coming too.
Yeah,
bro.
It's like, organic.
And it's just, I've never seen it. If we go to dinner, it's 1 through 15.
Mm-hmm. Who's paying?
The Lakers.
The Lakers. What's better than hearing, you know, the team that you root for? The team that you spend so many hours stressing about? And I know it's comical, but you do, right? This is... that team's representing your city, or you love the player, whatever the case is. How great is it to hear DeMarcus Cousins talk about the Lakers' chemistry? By the way, if we win an NBA championship this year, that might be the difference. Because we know the Clippers got incredible talent, they got incredible depth. We know the Milwaukee Bucks are handling their business out in the Eastern Conference, and that's not to say other teams can't kind of jump in the East, the Heat or the Celtics or whatever the case is. But chemistry is something the Lakers got. Chemistry is probably part of the reason why the Lakers didn't make a trade at that trade deadline. And you know what? If we ended up not winning the championship, then chemistry only got you so far and your talent only got you so far. But we'll have to obviously wait and see. But that's big time to hear DeMarcus Cousins talk about the Lakers in that light. Here's more from DeMarcus Cousins and Matt Barnes and Steven Jackson.
That's my partner. I'm trying to drop as much knowledge as I can on him. He's so talented, man.
Yeah.
His talent is through the roof. He just got to learn the game.
Yeah.
And he's like a sponge. That's what's dope about him.
Talking about Kuzma, by the way.
He's willing to listen.
Yeah.
You just got to keep feeding.
There's very few youngsters like that, too.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's good.
Yeah.
To listen. We talk often, you know what I mean? Because I think people don't understand is.
Matter of fact, he told me to tell you what's up.
That's the little homie. Yeah. No, we talk. Like, I just, like Boogie says, like, I see that he went from possibly the second option last year, playing more minutes, getting more touches, to being third string behind AD and Bron, but then not even starting the season off. So to me, you got to find your rhythm. Kuz is, you know,
he's definitely finding his rhythm.
My touches are down, my minutes are down, but I was just telling him, you know, affect the game in other ways. Run the lane, go offensive rebound, be a dog on defense. Cut.
That's where your Bucks don't cut come off the ball.
And then by the time you get that kind of feeling, then when they come to you, you're in rhythm. So you don't feel like you have to force shit. But he's so talented.
So talented.
Man. And like I said, I love to hear that he's a sponge, like when he's in that team environment, because he's really going to be a key piece for them to do what they have to do.
Yeah.
How about that breakdown of Kyle Kuzma? And you know, Kuz, I think, is one of those players that he's willing to learn. I just don't know if he's at a stage of his career where he can be as effective as somebody that maybe he's got more experience or they're further along in their career. I genuinely don't have that answer. But the way they break it down, Barnes saying just do something to be effective when you're on the court. That's something that we've been talking about on the show. Who cares what you do? Who cares how you get there? But when you step foot on that court, you got to find a way to be effective. That's Kyle Kuzma in a nutshell right now for the Lakers. I hope over these next 29 games, we see a different Kyle Kuzma. We see a Kuzma with a little bit more of a dog. We see a Kuzma that over the stretch of a 48-minute game, when he's on the floor, no matter what's going on during the game, no matter how his shot's doing, he's finding ways to be effective for the Los Angeles Lakers. All right, are we ready to do this? I think we're ready to do this.
Ooh, yeah!
I think I got the copyright here. Lakers Nation, today is your last chance to qualify for the ultimate Sincoro Tequila experience. Listen to what we're giving away. A pair of tickets to see the Los Angeles Lakers versus the Boston Celtics this Sunday, and a pair of VIP passes for an exclusive Sincoro Tequila post-game party. Here's how you can win. Call 877-710-ESPN. Be caller number 7, and we will qualify you for the grand prize. Call right now. LA, right now. Pull over on the side of the road. Thank you to Sincoro Tequila, the world's finest tequila, and an official sponsor of the Los Angeles Lakers. All right, we come back. What are we doing when we come back?
We're going to talk some sports, Alan.
I'm drawing a blank here on what we were doing. This is what I'll do when we come back. I want to get into this specifically, the Kyle Kuzma part of what DeMarcus Cousins, Matt Barnes, and Steven Jackson talked about. We'll do all that coming up next. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN.
Woo!
That beat is so good. If we did this entire segment, I said nothing, and just the beat was on, ratings will just go through the roof. So DeMarcus Cousins, love getting a chance to listen to him. By the way, you know, for those, he may have a shot at coming back at some point in this postseason. And you know how important that is for the Lakers, their depth. I know we got big men. Don't get me wrong. Look, Dwight Howard, I just talked about closing out the five. There's a lot of times, you know, you look at this Lakers team and you see the potential that this Lakers team has. Boogie Cousins is DeMarcus Cousins. I don't know what version of DeMarcus Cousins we would get in the playoffs. I don't know what exactly DeMarcus Cousins, how healthy he is. I just hope he gets healthy. You know, one of the things watching last year the Golden State Warriors and DeMarcus Cousins in the finals, he looked like he wasn't healthy, right? We got so accustomed to seeing a version of DeMarcus Cousins before the injuries. Man, one of the most dominating bigs in the league when he was in Sacramento, even when he was in New Orleans with Anthony Davis. It was a beauty watching him play. How many 7-footers do you know that can step back and hit a 22-footer? Or they could go down in the block and absolutely dominate you in the block. One of the things I always felt like with DeMarcus Cousins, what hurt him in his career, as great as his individual numbers were in Sacramento, it's not a good organization. It's not an organization that's going to bring the best out of you. And you guys know what I'm talking. It's not a shot at the Kings, but look, they haven't done anything in a number of years. And then when he moved on to New Orleans before his injury, that was his first chance, his first shot to play with somebody equal to him or maybe even better, Anthony Davis. And it's unfortunate to see what's happened to DeMarcus Cousins over the years, but it's great to see him on a team like the Los Angeles Lakers, where he keeps emphasizing that the team chemistry is everything to this team. And then it's also great for him to talk about Kyle Kuzma, and you know, it gives me more confidence about Kyle Kuzma when somebody like DeMarcus Cousins, a 29-year-old, has been in the league for a while, has obviously a lot of respect from a lot of different players around the NBA, his peers, the coaching staff, and everything else. When he says, Kuz is my guy, Kuz is a sponge, he wants to take in all that information, that's promising. You know, I love to hear things like that. And you even heard Barnes and Steven Jackson saying, well, that's great to know. That's great to hear. Kuzma's got talent. What Kuzma doesn't have is that experience. And you can't really teach experience. You know, you got to go through it for yourself. But one thing you can do is you can go to people that have experienced certain things that can shed some knowledge on what they know. And Kuz isn't one of those players that doesn't want that information. You know, that's going to be the challenge for Kuz moving forward. He's in a predicament, in a situation where he's asked to produce. Some shape, way, or form, produce. Trade deadline passed. Kuzma's still on this team. So now it's not a matter of, well, I hope Kuz can make it happen. No. Kuz, you got to make it happen. You have to be productive for the Lakers. And that's one of the things, you know, as we go into this back half of the season, there's going to be a lot of eyes on Kyle Kuzma. There is. And I hope he takes, you know, comments that I make where I say, look, I don't think Kuz is a part of the closing five right now. I hope what he does about that is makes me eat my words, and in these final 29 games finds ways to demand that he's on the court towards the end of games. Maybe it happens, maybe it doesn't. Kuz is going to be in the league for a long time. Jared Dudley hopped on Lakers Talk, when I do Lakers Talk once a week, hopped on maybe about a month ago or so. He says that he tells Kuz, don't look at the stats. Don't pay attention to the stats. You're a 6'9", athletic young player that can run up and down the court and you can hit shots. You'll be fine. You're going to be in the league for a long time. You're going to get paid. But I think for Kyle Kuzma and for the Los Angeles Lakers, if he could just find ways to be effective, however that is, play defense, couple charges, couple blocks here and there, the buckets are going to come after that. Go grab some rebounds, do whatever this Lakers team needs, and we know that we need them. All right, Amari Sankofi II covers the Memphis Grizzlies for The Athletic. He's going to kind of break down what to expect tomorrow against the number 8 seed Memphis Grizzlies, led by Ja Morant. So we'll do all that coming up next. Appreciate you guys tuning in. If you're still calling in for that Sincoro tasting post party, the party's over. We already gave it away, right? That's it.
But keep listening, as the next hour we're going to reveal who won. All the qualifiers.
Keep listening because, you know, we got a good show going on.
Oh, of course.
We got that going on,
that's
too.
The incentive
I like
to
it.
Keep listening.
I like it. How great is that with Sincoro, this post party, and you go to Lakers Celtics? Come on now.
I'm jealous.
Doesn't get any better than that.
I wish I can qualify.
You were calling on your cell phone. I saw what was going on back there. All right, we'll talk to Omari Sankofi II from the Memphis Grizzlies, or covers the Grizzlies for The Athletic. That's coming up next. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. All right, it's the most anticipated title fight in recent history. Undefeated heavyweight champion Deontay Wilder takes on 29-0 Tyson Fury in a rematch that the world has been waiting for, live on pay-per-view this Saturday, February 22nd, 9 p.m. Eastern. It's going to be a good fight. I think a lot of people are looking forward to this, and it is one of those. It's good to kind of see boxing with the big heavyweights. You know what I mean? We need that. Boxing, by the way, needs a story. This is a fantastic story. All right, hopping on the Sliwa Show right now. Amari Sankofi II covers the Memphis Grizzlies for The Athletic. Amari, thanks for taking some time and hopping on the show.
Absolutely, thanks for having me on.
All right, so, man, could this be a Lakers-Grizzlies first round coming up? I know the Lakers and the Grizzlies go at it tomorrow from Staples Center, but kind of interesting. I don't think anybody thought the Grizz would be in this position. Maybe you can kind of give us an idea how they sit, couple games over 500, and how they're in this playoff mix.
Yeah, certainly looks like at this point that it will be Lakers and the Grizzlies playing in the first round, which is pretty surprising just given that the Grizzlies were projected pretty widely to be, you know, bottom three team in the conference, and not just outright the worst. I think a big reason why they're in this position now is because Ja Morant's been so good. Yeah, not too many rookie point guards have averaged 17-7. And then in addition to that, he's shooting almost 50% from the field. He's really energized this team, and I think risen their ceiling overall. And then in addition, you also have guys like Jaren Jackson Jr., D'Antoni Melton, Dylan Brooks, all young guys who have all stepped up their level of play this season as well. So it's just a good young team, and a lot of guys who are exceeding expectations just as far as how well that they play so far.
No, and it's cool to see. You know, it's an interesting story. The Spurs are on the outside looking in. The Sacramento Kings, the Portland Trailblazers, there's teams out there that you thought, okay, they're going to be fine for the eighth spot. It's not like Memphis is a half a game in front of these teams. They have a four-game cushion from the eighth to the ninth spot. And you mentioned something about Ja Morant. Ja Morant was pick number two, so nobody's thinking that Ja Morant came out of nowhere. Obviously, he's supposed to be a really good player in this league. But are you surprised? Are most fans of the Memphis Grizzlies, are they surprised how quick, how effective his leadership, how much of an impact he's been through just 50-plus games in his career so far?
I think people are surprised. I think you kind of hit it perfectly. Of course, John's the second pick in the draft. He had a really good career at Murray State. You know, he became a college superstar last season, so he didn't come out of nowhere. People expected that he would be good. You know, there were even people in the league, draft analysts and whatnot, who thought he had potential to be one of the best gunners in the league someday. But for him to be this good, this fast, I think it's hard to project. Really for any point guard, but especially one who came out of a mid-major school and really wasn't even nationally known just from a fan standpoint until around, I would say, December 2018. Point guard is the hardest position to learn, you know, probably along with center, just on the defensive side of the ball. But you never expect a rookie point guard to take the reins as confidently as John's done through the, I guess, two-thirds portion of the season.
Amari Sankofi II covers the Memphis Grizzlies for The Athletic, hopping on the Sliwa Show to talk about the Lakers and the Grizzlies tomorrow. What did you think? I know this was before the trade deadline. When Andre Iguodala was on the team, not a part of the team, but, you know, technically a part of the team, what did you think of some of the young players, the Dylan Brooks, the Ja Morants, especially Dylan Brooks? Yeah, just the way they kind of had that. They created a storyline, and it was almost like, hey, if you don't want to be on this team, then we hope that you're not on this team. Was that looked at in Memphis as something that the fans supported, or do you feel like, okay, you know what? No, you're disrespecting a vet, a Finals MVP, somebody that's been in the league for a long time.
No, I don't. It's pretty clear that Iguodala doesn't have too many fans in Memphis. I think the fan base, for the most part, was pretty miffed that he decided basically to stay home and not report to the team. And I think it definitely got worse as the Grizzlies got better. That, you know, he was essentially sitting home from a playoff team. Now, this is something that Iguodala and the Grizzlies agreed to. You know, it's not
right.
Like he necessarily.
It didn't come from a shock. It wasn't a surprise or anything, right?
No, you know, because he's in his mid-30s. Obviously, you know, his career is in, like, its last phases. The Grizzlies didn't need Iguodala, and they didn't expect that they would be as good as they are now. And they got a first-round pick to acquire him in addition to that. So they really saw Iggy as an asset this whole time. So the Grizzlies were fine. But, you know, the fans see it differently. They see Andre Iguodala saying, I'm not going to play for Memphis. And they take it a little bit more personally. I don't think the players cared until Iguodala went on NBA Countdown and said that he wanted to mentor young players at his next stop. I don't think he meant that strongly. I think he was just kind of talking off the cuff.
Sure.
When he's on TV saying that and talking about where he wants to go next in his career. The Grizzlies are in the midst of a playoff race, and they're also the youngest team in the NBA right now. I think it just rubbed them the wrong way. Iguodala is Iguodala, right? Like, he has the national media attention. People are going to believe what he says. I think the Grizzlies the players at least, were uncomfortable with some of the things that he had said, and that's when Ja Morant kind of went on the offensive on Twitter a few weeks back and made his thoughts about it known. So it was entertaining. The fans loved it. I think in the end, everybody got what they wanted. The Grizzlies got a good player in Justice Winslow, and Iguodala got paid to go to Miami, which, you know, I'm sure he's happy about. So at this point, I think for all sides, it's kind of let bygones be bygones, but he definitely got some people the wrong way here.
Amari, that's great stuff, man. I appreciate you giving us some insight for tomorrow's game against the Memphis Grizzlies. Should be a good one. I know from a Laker fan perspective, we're looking forward to kind of watch some of these young guns. And who knows, could be a first-round preview. So thanks for hopping on the show.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
All right. That's Omari Sankofa II. Covers the Memphis Grizzlies for The Athletic. So that's what the Lakers got tomorrow. Coming up on Sunday, the Lakers taking on the Boston Celtics. So we're going a little bit everywhere now. We get somebody to educate us on the Memphis Grizzlies. Let's get somebody now to educate us on the Boston Celtics. Gary Washburn from the Boston Globe taking some time to hop on the Sliwa show. Gary, first of all, thanks for hopping on the show. I want to ask you, how do you feel like the Boston Celtics, who sit in third place in the Eastern Conference right now, I think just a half game behind the Toronto Raptors, how does Boston match up in the Eastern Conference against the Bucks, the Sixers, the Heat? How do the Celtics feel like they match up against the elite in the Eastern Conference?
I think that everybody's kind of conceded with about 28 games left in Milwaukee, unless something happens unforeseen, is going to win, be the number one seed. The West, you know, you still have some competitive teams up there in terms of trying to get the Lakers for that number one seed. You know, the Clippers can make a late run, the Jazz, the Nuggets, even the Rockets with this new offense. But in the East, I think the concession is, okay, Milwaukee's going to get that number one seed. So there's a five-team race for the second seed, which is going to be fascinating because if you really look at it, the number two seed will avoid playing one of those other five teams. So if you're the second seed, you'd probably get Brooklyn or Orlando in the first round. Then you get the third seed and you avoid Milwaukee to the conference finals. And I'd rather play a Brooklyn team right now if one of those Eastern Conference teams now with Kyrie Irving out for the season, or an Orlando team who's kind of up and down, than play Indiana, Toronto, Miami, or Philadelphia. So the Celtics feel like they can grab that number two seed. They're a game and a half back as we speak of that spot. Toronto had a great 14-game winning streak, just snapped recently. They have been probably the biggest surprise this season, playing this well without Kawhi Leonard. So the Celtics feel like they can grab that number two seed, but their schedule's difficult. They got a West Coast trip coming up. They got another game with the Rockets. They've got Portland, they're scraping, for a playoff spot. They've got a lot of tough, tricky games coming up with Oklahoma City. They play a lot of games against the West. So, another game with Houston. So they've got to figure things out, if they're going to grab that number two seed.
Yeah, it's interesting, and it's Gary Washburn from the Boston Globe hopping on to talk about the Lakers-Celtics coming up this Sunday. It is interesting because there is a, obviously fight in the Eastern Conference, like you mentioned, very advantageous. You get that number two seed, and you go up against Brooklyn rather than going up against Indiana or maybe Philadelphia or whatever the case is. In the West, the Lakers are in an interesting spot as well, and they got a nice cushion in the Western Conference, but you kind of want to redeem yourself from some of these games that you lost. And in the first couple of weeks after the break, Lakers will have that chance. Celtics is one of those games. They still got Philly, the Clippers coming up, the Milwaukee Bucks. These are all teams that the Lakers have lost to. What do you think? I just kind of get your thoughts of this on more of a, obviously you're in a completely different market, but what have you seen from the Lakers this year? The Anthony Davis combination, the LeBron James combo. What have you liked about what the Lakers have done, and just your thoughts on how you think the Lakers stack up with the rest of the West?
Well, I think when the Lakers are playing well, they're almost impossible to beat. They just look like a team that's a championship caliber team when they're playing well. But then there's been some games that I've kind of felt like the game at Philadelphia, obviously the day before Kobe's passing, tragic passing. The Milwaukee game, like there's some games, the game against the Celtics where they just don't look as engaged. That's what concerns me. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to lose in the first round or even the second round, but that Lakers-Clippers series, if that's in the Western Conference Finals, that could be epic. And with the Clippers constantly seeming like they've added three or four new guys over the last week, they're ramping up and the Lakers are kind of standing pat. So we'll see how that goes, but the Lakers have had some mysterious kind of no-shows, the home loss to Orlando, that you just kind of makes you scratch your head. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing now, it takes a lot for a team filled with veterans to be fully engaged all 82 games and not look forward to the postseason and not look forward to trying to save their energy for the playoffs. So I can contribute some of it to that. But it'll be interesting to see the Lakers and how they finish this season. I mean, because Utah and Denver and the Clippers are going to try to catch them. I think the Clippers less much because I think the Clippers aren't worried about playoff seed. They feel like they can win this. They can get to the finals of the four seed, they feel like, as long as they got a home first-round playoff series. But it will be interesting to see how the Lakers finish the season and what their motivation is in terms of just like, are they going to be kind of ramp up for the playoffs and play their best? Are they going to get some rest? Are you going to give LeBron a break here and there? Anthony Davis and his health. How does Kyle Kuzma fit in? Kyle's kind of been up and down this year. With no Darren Collison coming now, who's that backup point guard? Is it Rondo? Can he come up? So there's a lot of questions. I wouldn't just hand the trophy to the Lakers yet. I think that they have some things they have to work out, but when they're playing well, when AD and LeBron are running that pick and roll, when LeBron is spreading the floor and getting the ball to shooters, and KCP's hitting that three, they're a very difficult team to beat.
Gary, great stuff, man. I appreciate getting your insight, and I think we have a good one coming up on Sunday. And I hope you're right about the Lakers wanting some payback after that blowout the Celtics handed the Lakers about a month ago. But appreciate you hopping on and giving us some insight on the Boston Celtics.
Oh, no problem. Thanks a lot.
All right, that's Gary Washburn from the Boston Globe. Amari Sankofa covers the Grizzlies for The Athletic. He helped us out with the Lakers taking on Memphis tomorrow. Great stuff from both of those guys. I'm going to switch gears a little bit. We're going to talk some baseball when we come back. You guys hear what David Ortiz had to say about the commissioner, Rob Manfred, about Mike Fiers. Really some confusing audio clips for me personally, but we'll take a listen to them. We'll react to it as well. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. All right, we got a winner. We got a winner, everybody. Congratulations, Joanne Belisario. Joanne Belisario won a pair of tickets to see the Lakers versus the Celtics this Sunday, and she's invited for an exclusive Cincoro Tequila post-game party. How about that for a win right there? What if you had nothing going on Sunday? You thought to yourself, I'm going to kick back, watch the Lakers and the Celtics. But then you tune in to 710 ESPN. You qualify for this prize, and now you got yourself going to not only the Lakers versus the Celtics, but an exclusive Cincoro Tequila postgame party. Congratulations, Joanne Belisario. All thanks to Cincoro Tequila, the world's finest tequila, and an official sponsor of the Los Angeles Lakers. I mentioned I want to get into David Ortiz's comments. So, David Ortiz, we all know, the great, great Boston Red Sox. Played for the Boston Red Sox for a number of years and was, I think, ended up with 3 World Series trophies and obviously a critical, critical piece to their success over the years. Ortiz was definitely had a different view and different comments, which every person has 100% the right to have their view on this Houston Astros cheating scandal, the way MLB is handling everything. I want to play this because you don't hear this very often, especially in today's media. Rob Manfred, who's the commissioner of baseball, has been getting blasted by everybody, including myself. And I'm not doing it because I'm bored and this is just a hobby that I want. No, I'm doing it because I just don't agree with the way he's handled this cheating scandal. So here's David Ortiz saying that everybody needs to kind of calm down with the criticism for Rob Manfred.
I saw an interview that he did the other day, and I feel bad for him because, you know, people asking questions like he was the one who started this shit up. No, man, you know, like I'm here to make sure that you guys as a fan, like I see players trying to tell him what he need to do. Hey, he don't tell you how to hit or how to pitch. So let him do his job, you know. He gonna do what is best for the game. He's not the type of guy that gonna accept you screwing things up in the game and he just gonna, you know, tell you where to go. No. he's good at making decisions, but people need to chillax. People need to let him do his job. Player need to let him do what he think is better for the game and for everything else. You know what I'm saying? And stop putting him on the spot and telling him what to do.
So that's Ortiz's thoughts on the way Rob Manfred has been criticized over the last couple of weeks since his, you know, really since more and more information continues to come out about the cheating scandal. This is where I got a problem with David Ortiz's comments and his outlook on this whole thing. Nobody agrees with how Rob Manfred is doing his job. That's the problem. If you felt like the punishment fit the crime, maybe it's a different story. If Rob Manfred had come out and did what a lot of players feel like, by the way, I'm going to put the fans to the side for a second, because as fans, and I'm more of a casual baseball fan, I might have a thought, an opinion, hey, you should do this, you should do that. But it's the players, when I hear the players and the managers, this is what I care more about, because there is a there's a fraternity within baseball where, you know, you kind of look out for yourself. Baseball players got to take care of baseball players. They have to police the game a little bit. Teixeira, Mark Teixeira talked about that yesterday. It's very important that what these players are saying, that the comments that they have on the situation, the predicament in baseball right now, gets heard. It should be heard. And Ortiz to say, well, he doesn't tell you how to hit. He doesn't tell you how to pitch. Come on. What are we comparing here? Rob Manfred is technically the CEO of baseball. That's what the commissioner's job is. You have a lot of players that are under Rob Manfred that don't agree with the way things have been handled in this cheating scandal. We're talking about a Major League Baseball team that everybody feels stole a championship in 2017. How can you say, oh, just chill, let the guy do his thing? He knows what's best for MLB, does he? Because right now baseball is staring at, you know, something they've never seen before, at least since the PED scandal, since steroids were just being used all over Major League Baseball, and it doesn't seem like he has control of what's going on. The reason why he doesn't have control of what's going on is because I would think 90-95% of the public and the players don't like the way he's handled this situation. None of the players faced any punishment for doing what they did. But if a player comes out in a month from now and hits Altuve in the back, sending a message to him that I don't like the way you have played the game of baseball, then he's going to get suspended 5 games. He'll have served more games on a suspension and get fined more than Altuve did for being a part of a cheating scheme in 2017 that got the Houston Astros a World Series. I just don't understand Ortiz's thought process in this. And let's go a little bit further. Here's David Ortiz on Mike Fiers.
I'm mad at this guy, the pitcher that came out talking about it. And let me tell you why. Oh, after you make your money, after you get your ring, you decide to talk about it? Why don't you talk about it during the season when it was going on? Why you didn't say, I don't want to be no part of? Oh, now. So you look like a snitch. You know what I mean? Why you got to talk about it after? Why that's my problem, you know. Why nobody say anything while it was going on? People is not stupid.
What Ortiz should be doing is talking about how disgusted he is with the game. Talking about how when he played baseball, this stuff didn't happen. That there wasn't technology coming in to steal signs and know what pitch is coming up. Can you imagine David Ortiz, if he was on the Houston Astros in 2017 with his talent, how many home runs he would have hit? Giancarlo Stanton said yesterday he would have had 80 bombs, 80 home runs. I mean, that's what I feel like Ortiz should have focused on. I'm actually shocked Ortiz didn't focus on that. And that's why Ortiz is getting a lot of run right now, and you're hearing him all over the place, because he took a side that obviously is completely different than the masses, I guess you could say, which is fine. That's okay. But I just can't tell you how much I disagree with him. And I'm shocked and surprised that he would defend a commissioner that baseball players, the elite of the elite, the Cody Bellingers, the Mike Trouts, the Aaron Judges, it doesn't get any bigger than those players. Those players represent your game. They're saying they're disgusted with the Houston Astros, but David Ortiz says, oh, but leave Manfred alone. He didn't say anything about that 2-2 pitch that you swung on and you missed. How is that comparing apples to apples? We're going all local coming up next. So like we always do, at 8:30, USC and UCLA got basketball games tonight. We'll get you the results on that. Kings are playing across the street. A lot of different stuff going on a local basis. We'll get you covered. We'll get you caught up. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. All right, it's time to go all local. Jesse, do you want to start off by giving scores, or do you want me to talk about my local pickup game at lunch today? Which one do you want to go with? We can save it for the end.
I'm excited about that local pickup game, Alan. Who did you start? Come off the bench? What'd you do?
All right, so a local pickup game. This is my version of a local pickup game at this point. So just up the street here in downtown, little LA Athletic Club action. It was 2-on-2. Just 2-on-2. Yeah, just not enough. All right, hold not on. Enough
full
guys
court
to
or
go
half
full.
Court?
Oh, you got to go half. Yeah. You got to go half.
Come on.
And I couldn't at this point, just merely because I haven't played in like 2 weeks. I don't know what my chest would have done if I tried to play full court. So we'll go 2-on-2. Let me tell the story real quick. Game's to 24. It's 2s and 3s. We were up 23-22, so it's game point. It's game point.
Did
right?
you imagine you were in the All-Star game? You were Anthony Davis?
Yeah, a little bit of that. Let me tell this story real quick. So I got maybe too confident and thought I could do a kind of a step back three. Missed it. And then the next possession, the guy posted me up and scored. We lost 24-3. That's my lunch run. Then I'm kind of thinking in my head, I'm like, what are you doing? Why are you taking that shot? Get to the basket. Why are you taking a three when all you need is two? I had to kind of break it all down.
Well, you know.
That's where I'm at right now in my basketball game.
You'll get there. Just keep going. You know,
I'm only going downhill. There's no I'll get there.
I mean, with enough time, anything is possible.
What I should be doing is spending more time working on my radio show, less time on my basketball game. Let's go all local.
Hey, all right.
What do you got
over
there?
Local. Sticking with basketball, the second half of the season is officially started. The game started today with an exciting game, actually. The Brooklyn Nets took on the Philadelphia 76ers.
Who won that game? Did Brooklyn end up winning?
It went to OT, believe it or not.
Okay.
And, I just had the score here. Yeah. So the Sixers wound up pulling it out in OT, 112-104.
All right, 112-104.
And we got two games going on right now. The Grizzlies are taking on the Kings up in Sacramento. Oh, I didn't know they were playing today. Oh, we might catch them on a back-to-back tomorrow night. Mm-hmm. They're down 85-67. And the Rockets and the Warriors are also playing right now with the Rockets owning a 20-point lead over the Warriors, 60-40.
Who's down 85-67? The Grizz or?
The Kings, sorry. The Kings,
oh, the
are,
Kings
down.
Are down. Okay.
The Kings are up. Reverse that.
Okay,
Kings are
up
85-68.
Okay, let's go local now.
Yes,
I promoted local, and then we went to Philadelphia.
Well, I gotta say the basketball season's back.
I can't wait. By the way, just to get now you have games back on, you got highlights back on, so that's all great too. So, are you going SC UCLA first?
No, I'm going NHL first.
Okay, what do you got?
Across the street, the Kings. It's Galaxy Night at the Kings game today. They're taking on the Florida Panthers. And it is currently, if my thing can load here, I had it here. There it is. End of the first, it is 2-2. So Kings, end of the first period, it's 2-2. Things looking good for the Kings. They just trade away Tyler Toffoli and Alec Martinez. But
you said they have 20 draft picks
in the next
over
two
the
drafts.
Next 2 years.
So the Kings are having a bad season right now, but things
big picture,
are
start
up.
Yep, start setting up for the future.
Uh-huh. And
Ducks playing tonight or no?
No, the Ducks are off tonight. They face the Colorado Avalanche tomorrow night in Anaheim.
Okay. SC UCLA, so got some games on, right?
Yes, we do. UCLA is playing right now. It is halftime. They are up 33-21 in Utah over the Utah Utes. And USC battled but ultimately lost to Colorado, number 18 Colorado, and that game was for first place in the Pac-12. So USC falls to 8-6 in the Pac-12, 19-8 overall, and Colorado is 10-4 in the Pac-12, 21-6 overall.
All right, just stay. I want to stay real quick with the Pac-12. So Colorado ranked right now, SC 19-8. That's not a bad record. That's a good record. I know conference 8-6, but 19-8, you could be in the mix, or you might have to win the tournament, the Pac-12 tournament to get in. But they'll be in the mix, and if they're putting up a fight against Colorado, who's on top of the Pac-12, that's a good sign for the Trojans. UCLA 15-11, 8-5 in conference, but they have won three games in a row.
Yeah, and USC. Colorado used a 44-point second period to kind of overcome USC.
The second half?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was only a 29-26 advantage for USC at the half. So, you know, they were fighting, and they keep showing up, and I think they could eventually make it.
All right, what else we got local?
So in local, we're going to go all the way to baseball because it was just announced just a couple minutes ago on the Dodgers' Twitter. Opening day tickets go on sale tomorrow at 9 a.m. So, L.A., get ready. That baseball season around the corner. Spring training starts this weekend, and the regular season starts March 26th against the San Francisco Giants.
So, San Francisco Giants on March 26th at Dodger Stadium?
At Dodger Stadium, opening day.
You know, there might be something to this. You know how yesterday you talked about how you want to see the 49ers and the Rams open up SoFi Stadium?
Ooh, I'm waiting. I'm just waiting.
And when you look at baseball, it's the Dodgers and the Giants. That's the rivalry, obviously, for L.A. It is going to be a... it's going to be... Look, I'm excited about the season. And you know... Look, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I haven't spent the last few years watching every baseball game in MLB, even though I love the post. For some reason, I get hooked on in the postseason. But this is a big year for the Dodgers. It really is. There's no excuses for them. They got the lineup. Obviously, they have the pitching. It's going to be every team's got holes. I feel like the Dodgers and the Yankees probably have the least holes of any of the other teams in the MLB right now.
Yeah, this is, you know, the previous years was always every year it seems like the Dodgers are one of those teams. But this year is different. And no, it's not because of the Astros cheating thing. It's because of Mookie Betts alone. The past 2 years, we've had roughly the same lineup coming in. And while, yeah, they produce, they're deep, they haven't gone over the hump. And last year specifically was the year where I saw the Dodgers and I just saw them. I was like, they're deep, they're strong, but there's nothing there that says...
You got to have a clutch gene. You got to have a clutch gene.
Let
me say this, Jesse. Mookie Betts, for winning it in 2018 and playing in the Boston market, okay? That's not an easy market to play for. Boston is one of the best sports cities in the entire country.
Oh, yeah. Are you kidding me?
And to win with the Boston Red Sox, that says something. To have the numbers he had with the Boston Red Sox, that says something. Even David Price. I mean, I know Price gets kind of left out of this because Mookie Betts is such a star. I like David Price on this team. I like a vet that's been there before where maybe, you know, for certain players, that big-time moment, you get a little nervous. David Price is not going to get nervous come postseason.
He's going to be, I think, the wild card when it comes to the postseason because, you know, if you can easily have a rotation of Bueller, Price, Kershaw, or Kershaw, Price, Bueller, or even
that's exactly
Price,
what the rotation will
Bueller,
be.
Bueller, Kershaw. There's so many different ways to go around it. And you know what?
Urias. Still got
that's
Alex
what I was
going to
say. We're just talking about the three. They still have other pitchers. Julio Urias is one who's, you know, we've all been waiting for. Mm-hmm. Alex Wood is back in the rotation. He did tremendous when he was with the Dodgers a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. So you know, we're just talking about the stuff that we're excited for now, which is Mookie Betts and David Price. We haven't even, you know, we still have Cody Bellinger,
sure.
Justin Turner, Corey Seager, who is a full year recovered from
Max
that
Muncy
injury.
Now on a new contract.
On a new contract. He doesn't have to worry about is he going to get paid or not, if he's going to go somewhere after. Everything for the Dodgers is lining up right. And it's now or never. And it has
I
been
agree.
Now more than ever. More than when they lost the World Series 2 years ago and last year,
well,
the year before
this
that.
Season's also so much different because of the cheating scandal. You know what I mean? Like, now you're looking at some of the losses that you had, and, you know, there's question marks.
Yeah.
You could have very easily beat the Astros in 2017.
100%.
If they were cheating. You know what I mean? Like, this is, you went seven games against the team that cheated.
You don't even have to say it like that. You say, you know what? They had to cheat to beat us. In their mindset, that's what they need to have. That's what they need to think of. The Astros needed to cheat to beat us. They didn't cheat. We don't know what happened.
You know who's saying the same thing? The Yankees. Right? Like, you have two
100%.
Franchises saying the exact same thing.
You're crazy if you don't think Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton are going to both try to knock bombs every single plate appearance playing against the Houston Astros.
I loved Trout saying that, yeah, it'd be fun if I knew what pitch was coming. You know, I know that was about a week ago or so, but it's such an incredible advantage. There's nothing even more to talk about on that front.
Definitely.
All right, good stuff there on the local front. We'll do that every every show at 8:30. We'll just get very, very hyper-local. All the games going on a local basis, we'll give you guys a quick update on. All right, let's do this when we come back. Head coach Frank Vogel was on with the morning show this morning, right? Yeah, it was this morning. And he talked about not playing Kyle Kuzma in the fourth quarter. So I'll play that for you. Obviously, he was on with Keyshawn, Travis, and LZ. And we'll get some thoughts on that. So stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. It's the most anticipated title fight in recent history as undefeated heavyweight champion Deontay Wilder takes on 29-0 Tyson Fury in a rematch the world has been waiting for, live on pay-per-view Saturday, February 22nd, 9 p.m. Eastern. We are pushing this fight. Should be a good one. This Saturday, 9 p.m. Eastern, live on pay-per-view. All right, so I think we're all happy and glad to have the Los Angeles Lakers back in action starting tomorrow. I'll be down there at Staples Center. Pre-game show will start at 6 o'clock with myself and MT. Tip-off at 7:30, Ireland and Michael Thompson. You know, just a critical part of the season now. We are at the final stretch. I mean, believe it or not, this is technically the final stretch. We're almost done with February. And then obviously we know it's just March and half of April before postseason starts. And it could be the Lakers and the Memphis Grizzlies. I think that's most likely now what it's looking like just based upon where we are in the standings. And if that's the first round matchup, I cannot wait to get the playoffs started because, you know, here's a young Memphis Grizzlies team that has absolutely nothing to lose, athletic. There's a lot of different things that they can do. They don't know any better, right? So for them, if they're in the postseason against the Lakers, what do they know? But I also think the Lakers will dominate that series, and where other powerhouses in the Western Conference are going to have tougher matchups. How great would it be if the Clippers got to go against the Oklahoma City Thunder in the first round? Be fantastic. We'll have to see how things play out. Head coach Frank Vogel hopped on the morning show with Keyshawn, Travis, and LZ earlier today, and they were talking specifically about Kyle Kuzma.
Yeah, well, you know, sometimes he's not on the floor in the fourth quarter simply because other guys in the team are playing well. We've had a great sort of season in terms of our role players, you know, having just having mindset that different guys are going to step up each night. You know, we have a game last week, and Alex Caruso comes in, you know, on what was supposed to be a small minute stint, and he plays out of his mind, you know. So, you know, he gets Kuz's minutes in that role, and LeBron slides to the floor. You know, Avery Bradley's had stretches where he's played out of his mind. Rajon Rondo has played out of his mind. Danny Green has played out of his mind. Contavious Caldwell-Pope. You know, we've had situations where our two centers were playing extremely well. So we keep AD at the four. So it's really just a matter of like we're gonna go with guys that are sort of on that night.
Can I tell you something about Coach? You know, one of the things that I can't stand in sports is when coaches stick to a script. All right, this is the game plan. This is the script. We're not gonna divert from it by any stretch. This is what we're going to do because this is what we game planned. And I don't think that's the case with Coach. Not all the time, by the way, because there are times where somebody might have the hot hand and a player comes out, or Caruso should be getting more minutes, whatever the case is. But I love what he said right there, because it's exactly, in my opinion, what some of the great coaches do. They don't stick to a script. There's a feel for the game. One guy might be hot in one game while another guy is cold. That doesn't mean, well, that guy's got to be in there because of the name on the back of his jersey. No, that's not how it works. And the fact that he's talking about how Kyle Kuzma hasn't been in games, in some of these games in the fourth quarter, it's not a knock on Kuz. Maybe you can take it as it's a knock on Kuz, but I don't think it is. What it is, well, it all depends on how other players are doing. If another player is playing fantastic basketball, if KCP's he's got four threes in the game, or Caruso's being a pesk on defense and you have to have him in the game, yeah, that's what you roll with. That's how it should be. And it's not always the case in the NBA. It's not always the case in sports. It's not always the case in the league. And I feel like, you know, that's something that Kuzma's going to have to, let me put it the right way there, he's going to have to fight against, right? He's going to have to fight against other players on the team who are more productive through the first three quarters to earn that playing time in those last couple of minutes. That's how it should be. You know, each one of these players can't just be on the court because of what they've done in the past. Or they can't just be on the court because they're veterans. Or they can't just be on the court because the fan base wants them on the court. Every game, it's going to be a little bit different. Earlier in the show, we talked about, okay, what's your closing five? Who's your closing five in these Laker games? If you're in a playoff game, it's a big time, it's game three or game four, game five of a series against the Clippers. Who's your closing five? I didn't have Kuz in my closing five. And I didn't have him in my closing five is because I just don't feel at this point he's better than other players on our team. I love Dwight Howard right now at the five to close out games because I feel like he does such an incredible job on the defensive side. He's a veteran that's been there before. He's a presence on defense. He has fantastic energy. There's a lot of reasons why I love Dwight at the five. Danny Green's got an incredible amount of experience in the league, playing 12-plus years and being a player that's won a championship with the Spurs. He's been in a ton of different predicaments that he doesn't look at and say, man, I'm overwhelmed with this situation or I'm unfamiliar what to do in this spot. That's why I'd put Danny Green in there. And then I got KCP in there is because I think KCP has earned himself a spot in that final five. Which is a little bit crazy to say. KCP is one of those players, Laker fans know this, we've given him a ton of criticism, at least in the beginning part of the season, but I think he's earned a lot of Laker fans' respect. So I don't have Kuzma in that mix simply because I'm not that confident in these big-time moments, these big-time situations. Kuzma's going to do these small things that's needed to win a game, not the big things, not the hitting the threes, not to putting up 20 points. I think Kuz can do that. It's just when he's not doing that, how is he finding other ways to be effective? So that was head coach Frank Vogel, who was on a little bit earlier. Stephen A. Smith, I love, by the way, grabbing clips from First Take. I really do. Like I genuinely like Kellerman and Stephen A. Smith, and so much of the conversation that they have always has something to do with the Los Angeles Lakers. Stephen A. Smith was talking about the Lakers not being able to land somebody at the trade deadline and so far in the buyout market. Here's Stephen A. Smith a little bit earlier today on First Take.
You're a top two candidate for league MVP honors. You are representing the Laker brand, and everybody's going to the other team. There's a problem. It's a problem, and it may cost the Lakers the chip, and I am of the belief that if LeBron and Max is different because he said it would take them a year. But I'm of the belief if the Clippers learn how to win a championship, they ain't going to stop. So if LeBron and the Lakers don't win this year, he may never have another championship again.
All right, I'll say this. This is their window. It's right now because you do have no idea what's going to happen next year. No idea what's going to happen next year. And LeBron is having such an amazing year in his 17th season. I'm not going to disagree at all with a window, right? That window that the Lakers are in, you cannot look past this year and say, well, next season this is going to happen. You can't. You know, you're not a team with players that are 28, 29 years old, and your best player, arguably still the best player in the NBA in the world, is 35 years old. That's a big difference. And this isn't a lock or a guarantee that, you know, the Clippers are going to handle business and that the moves that they made, and I don't want to say everybody's going to the Clippers. Maybe what he's referring to there is when Kawhi Leonard chose the Clippers in free agency. But these last couple of moves that the Clippers did make, the Marcus Morris part, that's a trade. You had draft picks. Maybe you had something more than what the Knicks wanted. You guys know I wanted Marcus Morris on this team. I thought he'd be a great fit. The Reggie Jackson part, we'll have to wait and see. It's not like Reggie Jackson is, you know, we're not saying he's Chris Paul. So let's not overhype him. The biggest question for the Clippers is going to be if these ingredients mix, where we know at least with the Lakers, there's some great chemistry. Hopefully at some point DeMarcus Cousins can make some type of a return, and hopefully the players that the Lakers have, these role players that they have after Anthony Davis and LeBron James, will just have to play better basketball and have to step up. Max Kellerman on why the Clippers are more attractive than the Lakers.
Free agents and such want to play there. That Reggie Jackson, the buyout last second, has his choice, chooses the Clippers. And I say it's because whatever everyone wants to say about LeBron once upon a time or even the way he's playing now, there is an acknowledgement, whether it's spoken or not. If you want to win a championship, Kawhi is the guy.
I wouldn't go that far. I think the Reggie Jackson part, Aaron Mitz is his agent, obviously represents Paul George, obviously represents Julius Randle, D'Angelo Russell, and let's just say probably not the best relationship, I'm assuming, right? But let's not make Reggie Jackson this, again, let's not say he's the best point guard in the NBA. Let's not crown him as this unbelievable player. I'm not going to argue the Clippers' depth. I can't. They're incredibly deep. But let's not sleep on the Lakers all of a sudden like they don't have a shot to win an NBA championship either. And I think that's what, you know, Stephen A. and Max are doing right now. And I get it. Listen, they made a move at the NBA trade deadline that could play out to be significant. And they grabbed somebody in the buyout market while the Lakers haven't, you know, still haven't grabbed anybody. There's still some time. I had Brian Windhorst on yesterday, and we talked a little bit about that. There's still time. Hopefully there is a player that kind of turns up over the next week or so that the Lakers can kind of plug into this roster, and he could be more of an impact in the playoffs. We'll have to kind of wait back and see. All right, quick reminder for tomorrow. So Keyshawn, Travis, and LZ start at 6 a.m. tomorrow, so make sure you tune in the morning for that. They'll get you updated on the Lakers-Memphis Grizzlies game, and then they'll continue to talk local as we always do. George Sedano will follow 10 to noon. Will Kane from noon to 3. And then Mason in Ireland. Mason is off. Ireland is back. They'll go from 3 to 6 o'clock, and then pregame show with myself and MT will follow right after that. Man, I thought we had great topics today. I love doing that. Who would you close with? I'm going to definitely get Michael Thompson's thoughts tomorrow when I'm doing the pregame show with him. But I think it's a question that will continue to evolve as the season progresses. Maybe that changes. Maybe I get Kuzma in there by the time the season ends. I hope so. All right, big thank you to Curtis, to Jesse, to all the callers that called in, everybody that tuned into the broadcast. Catch the entire show on Lakers Talk on the podcast, ESPN or ESPN app or iTunes. Thank you for tuning in. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN.